Good morning. Welcome to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Good morning, Keith. How are you doing today?
Good morning, J.D.
Another great day in the upstate.
It's fantastic. Now, the market is shifting as we speak.
It is.
So those of you that are up early, we're recording on Wednesday, but
things could change by Saturday. Things are happening fast these days, that's for sure.
We were just checking our phones, and the market was shifting, and the consumer price index came out hot this morning.
And so
the market's dropping, and interest rates are going up.
Yep, no doubt about it. Well, it's a definitely an interesting time to be in real estate, and we'll talk a lot about that today. And we've got some really good information to share. And of course, we've got some preliminary numbers. These aren't the final numbers for April. We do have some preliminary numbers, MLS numbers to share. In the show, we've got an interest rate update and a lot of things that are happening for sure. So it'll be a great show to listen in for all of our listeners out there. My name is JD. I'm with County Bank Mortgage. Of course, we always love email questions as well, and you can send those to askjd at countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd at countybankmortgage.com. And we had one email question this week. And it was a good insurance question. We're going to address that. And just a lot of things going on out there for sure. So, Keith, what you been up to? What's the family been up to? And what's happening in Keith Clark's
Actually,
world?
Actually, I've been working more than usual.
Yeah.
There are a lot of moving parts right now, JD. So, demand, people are trying to buy that are scared of interest rates continuing to go up.
Right.
So managing our portfolios, that's a challenge right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you've become a professional.
Well, I'm spending more time looking at it.
Yeah. Right? Well, absolutely.
And don't forget, cash is a good position.
It is. I got my one of my retirement account statements the other day. And it was only about 75% as big as what it was before.
Well, that's probably about average. I think the S&P is down maybe 20 or 22%.
Yeah.
So everybody's portfolio is off unless you were cash.
Well, I did get a...
You got ahead of it.
That's true. I did get a an email from one of my financial advisors, and he was, they're all, this is like the worst time for them, for those guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But he always sends out, the sky is not falling, just everybody take a deep breath kind of thing. And stock market downturns happen frequently, but don't last forever. So this is kind of some interesting statistics I was going to tell you about. So a 5% more... Or more decrease in the stock market typically happens three times per year. The last time it happened was October of 2021, and the length of that was 43 days. A 10% more decrease in the stock market happens once per year. Keith, did you know that? So
I did.
But the last time was September of 2020, so it did not happen in 2021.
Keep going.
Yeah, a 15% more or more decrease about once every 3 years.
Right.
Okay. And then a 20% more decrease happens about once every 6 years.
Yeah.
So kind of some interesting statistical data there to share in regards to stock market.
The big correction periodically. Well, we've surpassed that.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yes, we have, no doubt.
I got a call from a realtor friend, and she said, I looked at my statement. It was down $30,000-something. And so I called my broker, asked him what was going on. And he said, well, haven't you watched what's happening in the markets? And she said, no, that's what I'm paying you to do.
That's a good point. Very good point.
Now, so she went straight to cash. My sister-in-law went straight to cash.
Yeah.
All cash.
Nice.
And that
ahead
they look
of the curve.
They look like geniuses.
Yeah, they do. I know. Well, it's a long haul proposition still in my world anyway. I've still got about 10 years left. So.
Yeah, it depends on where you are on the horizon.
Yeah, that's exactly
10
right.
10 years, you'll be fine in a couple.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean that'll all be back. We think.
We hope.
Now, the Keystone Cops are running the show right now.
Correct.
And so,
you're correct, Keith.
So I heard somebody say this morning if they would just take Seinfeld's advice to George and just do the opposite of everything that they instinctively want to do.
Yeah, you'll be in great
shape. They'd be much better off.
There's a lot of truth to that sometime, I think. So anyway, well, listen, we're going to head into our first break. We got a lot to talk about today in regards to real estate and mortgage lending. We'd love to get some emails from you as well. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We'll be back right after this here on House Plans. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. We do appreciate you listening in today. And I've got Keith Clark with me from the Buyer's Broker. And we've got a lot to talk about for sure. And, you know, obviously, Keith, we've talked a lot here in the last few weeks about the real estate numbers and kind of what we were expecting. And we kind of thought there may be a little bit of a decrease in sales, especially with the interest rate hikes and the interest rate, how they've been going up fairly quickly. You know, where is that resistance? Where are the buyers going to have resistance towards moving forward? And, you know, it's a hot topic with everybody that we talk to. As far as, you know, some people, you know, maybe refinancing for cash out or pre-qualified to buy a home, can't get under contract, whatever. You know, we always talk about, okay, where is the resistance going to come from the buyers when an interest rate reaches X? And now that we're in the mid fives on 30-year money, you know, we kind of felt like maybe things would slow down a little bit, but that's not really the case from the preliminary numbers that you were able to access.
Yeah, so I jumped on the MLS and just pulled the solds and the actives because the reporting occurs through the 10th,
yep.
And they had not posted the numbers as of this morning.
Yeah.
But there appears to be an increase in transactions, 1,691 for April over last year's 1,502. JD, that would be a 12% increase in the number of transactions. Now, the active inventory also, I expected to go up a little bit, and it just did the opposite.
Yeah.
It went down again. 2,486 active listings over last year's 2,788. That's down 302 active listings, and that's a 10% decrease. So a little bit of a surprise. And historically, JD, over the last 10 years, anytime we got an increase in interest rates, you would expect that because people rush to the door to pull the trigger to get ahead of the increase in interest rates. But I thought that because they popped up so fast that we would see a little bit of a slowdown. But the trend of getting in purchasing your home before they go up any further, that seems to be holding.
Sure.
And so that created an increase in the number of transactions. Now, I do not expect that to hold, JD, although around the country, it's down a little bit, about 10% over the last 2
really?
Months,
okay.
Year over year.
Yeah.
So you expect that to come to us, but by the same token, with the migration that continues to occur, that's probably going to continue to increase demand.
So you really feel like the upstate, especially here, with the so many people moving to the area, it sort of insulated us from a national perspective in regards to the number of solds and that sort of thing that
appears
we're seeing.
To.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people, you know, we're still getting quite a few applications. People who are moving up, looking for that larger house, people who are moving down, maybe empty nesters, you know, that sort of thing. You know, there's still a lot of people out there that are moving to the area. I mean, we talk to people. I know you talk to people almost every day. You know, people that are moving here from you know, the Midwest or maybe moving here from the Southwest or wherever it may be. Greenville does seem to be a destination, so to speak, in regards to, and it's the quality of life, Keith.
I mean,
we've talked about that. A lot of people, you know, when I ask them, and especially with, you know, we've talked about this, as many people that are working remotely that are out there today, people are really looking for that high quality of life, which is what they find here in the upstate.
Yeah, you know, that makes me think of the Unity Park opening up on the the 19th.
Yep.
And we didn't discuss that at the opening. Typically, we cover those current trends.
Yeah, sure.
What's happening at the beginning of the show. But because our quality of life has been so good over the last 20 years, people continue to move here. And I don't think that's going to change, particularly the remote workforce.
Well, I got some interesting data I pulled from, I can't remember exactly where I found this. I think it was from the MBA, which is the Mortgage Bankers Association. And, you know, it's talking about the how many mortgage originations and kind of the history and forecast as they sort of move forward here. And, you know, it's funny, Keith. So we hit the peak, and obviously in 2020, 2021 was almost the same, down just a little bit in terms of mortgage originations. All that obviously being interest rate driven and a lot of that being refinance business. In 2022, now they're expecting a 66% decrease
wow.
from year over year between 2021 and 2022. And then they expect it to sort of flatten out after that, the next 23 and 24 to be the same as what it was, you know, this year. Now, you know, all that is speculation and you know, interest rates sort of drives that those numbers more than anything else. But I was kind of astonished at how much of a dip they were expecting. We were all expecting a dip for sure. But I'm not sure anyone was expecting that large of a dip in terms of mortgage originations. Now that includes refinancing and purchases. The main thing I was going to point out was, you know, when you look at those April numbers and what you had pulled, I'm kind of surprised too at that 12.5% increase. You know, year over year, that's a pretty sizable number.
That's a substantial number.
Yeah.
No question about it.
And I'm a little concerned about the inventory dropping again. You know, it kind of makes me think, you know, if you remember, Keith, when we looked at those March numbers for Charleston, I believe they were under 1 month
they
inventory.
Were.
And that's really starting to tamp down the number of solds that they have and the number of transactions that they have. And, you know, maybe we'll see the same thing here in Greenville. I hope not, but maybe that's the trend, you know.
And if it does, JD, that's been my fear for some time, that once you get to that 1 month level, then that appreciation rate, that median price of a home continues to go up. And we've been in that 12 to 15% range
yeah.
for the last 3 years.
Yep.
And that's unsustainable.
No, absolutely. Especially, you know, the median home price. And, you know, I'll tell you too, you know, one thing I'll say for all of our real estate experts that are out there, County Bank is actually happy to announce we'll be doing another realtor roundtable. We have not done one of these since the pandemic started. And, you know, for our real estate professionals that are out there, what we like to do is we'll usually have, you know, three or four educational type tables. And some of the topics that we'll talk about are first time home buyers. We talk a little bit about County Bank and what we can offer for you professionals that are out there and how we can make you look better. But we're going to have one of our appraisers come in. Very experienced appraiser that we have, Tim Kastner, will be joining us, and he's going to talk a little bit about, you know, what he's seeing in the appraisal industry. And not only that, he's going to talk about time adjustments on appraisals, which is, you know, that's something that has become very prevalent in the appraisal world. And when we talk about a time adjustment, what we're talking about is when you have a house that sells and you have an appraisal done on it, they're going to look back in the last year and they're going to say, okay, what has sold similar to this house? And they're going to look at proximity and a lot of different factors that they look at. But if you have a home that sold 9-10 months ago that they're using as a comparable sale, you know, that home, as you just said, Keith, is worth a lot more today than it was a year ago, just based on the increase in the median sales price. So he's going to talk a little bit about that. And then, of course, you guys, another thing the real estate experts I know is probably a hot topic in you guys' world is the new due diligence contract that'll be coming out. And we have an attorney that's going to come in and talk about that as well. So a lot happening. And of course, if any of our real estate experts would like to possibly join us, so we're going to have that over at Thornblade Club. Club, free of charge. We'll feed you lunch, maybe hopefully teach you a few things, and should be good. You can always email me at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. Just let us know you're coming, and we'll add you to the RSVP list. We do have kind of limited seating on that, but we do have some room, so hopefully you guys hear this and just shoot us an email, and we would love to have you join us and meet you as well.
I need the RSVP for
I've
that.
I've got yours. You're in.
Mary, too. Don't forget.
Yeah, I got
Mary's.
Both. I got okay. both. Yeah, you're in, Keith.
All right.
You're automatically in. We save you a VIP seat for these events. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing some feedback from our colleagues about the new due diligence clause. It'll be interesting to see how the agents respond to that. We have that option inside our contract. But during the seller's market period, sellers just wouldn't entertain a due diligence clause.
Yeah.
Now, the repair clause, typically it has enumerated items that the seller has a duty to do if they're discovered and they exist. And if they don't, then the purchaser has the right to rescind the contract. So we had due diligence a number of years ago, if memory serves me correct, it was pretty commonplace. But in the last 4 or 5 years, we haven't seen much of it.
Are you, when is the new contract supposed to go into play officially?
I think
officially?
In June.
June, okay, yeah. So that'll be very interesting, to see how that shakes out. And it'll be nice to, it's nice to get professionals in the industry together to talk about things like this. We haven't done a lot of that in the last 2 years just with the pandemic. Everybody's been sort of on their little island doing work, and that sort of thing. So it'll be very, very good, I think, to do that.
And the agents that come to these type of events are agents that are in the field. I've been in the field 32 years, and I'm unlike most brokers that have been in the business as long as I have. Typically, they're managing other agents. And at this stage of my career, I don't do that. So I'm in the field and I see these everyday issues that oftentimes the brokers encounter them, but they encounter them when they're a problem.
Yeah.
Not, we don't talk about it as much as we should before the agents have to implement those policies.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Well, I did want to provide an interest rate update before we get to the bottom of the hour break real quick. And these were live pretty much as of Wednesday morning this week. 30-year fixed, Keith, these are purchase money 30-year fixed interest rate. You're looking right around 5.5%. That's no points, no origination fees, that sort of thing. If you go with 20-year, you're now over 5%, around that 5.125 number. And then, of course, 15-year still floating around in the mid-fours at 4.625. And then I did have one of our loan officers, Brandon Calhoun, look up the jumbo rates. And they've climbed up just a little bit, but at 5.125, 5.125 for a jumbo. And again, that's no points or origination fees. And it's still amazing to me that you can get a jumbo interest rate 30-year fixed at a better rate on a jumbo than you can a conforming. I mean, that's unheard of. And I can't remember, if ever, that that's happened in my career anyway. So it's kind of uncharted waters on that.
It is, JD. And we record the show on Wednesday morning. So Saturday, these numbers will be able to, and I listen to the show usually on Saturday morning, so I will check those numbers and compare them.
Yeah,
but it would not surprise me if they ticked a little higher by the time the show airs on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. We had a couple days early this week, Keith, where the rates actually got a little bit better, and they probably end up moving about an eighth of a point or something like that. So we saw some improvement, but as soon as that improvement happened, it turned around and went the other way and bounced up. And of course, you talked about the CPI that came out this morning. So there's just a lot of things that, and it just seems like to me it's just – the feeling is that it just wants to continue to rise a little bit, which is kind of surprising. I really thought we would balance out, but the more time that goes by, the more feeling I get that it just wants to keep going up a little bit. And I would not be surprised to see us hit north of 6% by the end of the year.
Yeah, no, I think we will, JD.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind going on record. I could be wrong, but I do. I talked to a prospective client late yesterday, and that he asked me that question, and I said, well, I think you can expect 6% or higher late in the year.
Yeah.
And so that's a motivation for pulling the trigger. Not a significant amount. Yeah. I thought there'd be a pause in the market because the interest rates have went up so quickly over the last 90 days. I thought people would just pause and, yeah, and let's see what's going to happen.
Yeah, no,
but
you're
that's
right.
That's not what's happening.
No, it's panic in the streets a little bit. So, well, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. We do appreciate you listening to House Plans Today. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We'll be back right after this. We're going to talk about some personal experience here, and I think you guys are going to want to hear this. So we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage with Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker, and we appreciate you listening. So for those that don't know, I have opted to go ahead and sell. I had a few rental properties that I had a company that was managing for me, and I've decided to go ahead and sell those. The first one was a very easy transaction. My tenant was highly encouraged to go ahead and purchase. And she did, and she purchased a home from me. So I went, didn't have to sell that with any real estate agents or anything like that. My last tenant just moved out about earlier in April. And so I actually, Keith, believe it or not, I had not seen the house in about at least 8 to 10 years because the tenants had lived there for that long. So when I went out there, I knew I had a pretty big job on my hands in regards to some of the repairs that needed to be done, maybe some of the updates and upgrades that probably needed to be done. And I really looked for the most knowledgeable real estate expert I could find in Greenville, and I came across Keith Clark's name. And so Keith, for our listeners, has basically rolled his sleeves up and has really helped me out with this project. And of course, I told you, Keith, when you went out there, I said, now you're going to be in shock when you see how much stuff needs to be done. I think you would agree with me, and you've kind of gotten, you're getting your arms around the project anyway. So,
well, this particular property, and this is what we would typically refer to as a bread and butter property.
Right.
It's
right.
An entry level home that's easy to rent, stays rented, mm-hmm. a lot of rental demand for, in these recent years because of low interest rates and high rents, they've been very profitable to investors.
Right.
And investors have a big appetite for that type of property.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the day that actually you went out there, I got a call from a gentleman, an investor here in town, and I still, I should have asked you how he got my number, but I guess, you know, it's pretty easy to track people down these days. He called me, and we thought it would be a good idea to get him to make us an offer of what he thought he might want to pay. So he went out and probed the property and looked around and that kind of thing, and probably made an offer. I'm going to say the, you know, top end of this, if it was, the house was in great condition, we're going to say 230 range. Let's just make up some numbers here. And, you know, I think he came in around 145, let's just say, or something right. like that. And, you know, but we knew we were going to have to do some work on this thing. And so we were just trying to weigh, okay, do I let this go now or do I do the work? Clean it up. Let's see where we go with this, and then we'll talk about the marketing and all that kind of stuff here in a little bit. But you've done a really good job, Keith, I will say, in you know, in identifying the things that need to be done, the cost associated with doing those, and then trying to figure out, okay, well, do you do this or do that, or what's the situation?
Yeah, and so we thought that was a good idea to get the investor offer just to see. Now, this particular investor was going to flip the property.
Right, that's right.
So they would go in, renovate, rehab, and then put it right back on the market mm-hmm. with the hopes of, typically, I would say they want to make maybe 15-18% on their money.
Right.
So, you know, if they can turn that around in 60 days, then that's a good investment.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
What they do.
Yep.
And so for you, the big question is that obviously that's easier. Write me a check, spend an hour at the attorney.
Yeah.
And walk away.
Yeah.
And so, but is the differential between you doing it yourself or just taking a discounted offer from an investor, is that differential enough for you to spend a month or two doing it yourself?
Right.
And do you have the team to be able to do it cost effectively. And most of the improvements will be contractor grade improvements. There'll be a few upgrades, but typically contractor grade products that you put in the house. And is that going to be profitable?
Right.
Right. So I offered to take care of this for you, make it easy for you. And when we did the cursory numbers, it looked like you might put a little more money in your pocket mm-hmm. without any significantly more headaches.
Right. No, that's right.
And so far, the only surprises that we really had were a couple of deficiencies. There were the chimney was yeah. had a lot of rotten wood in it, and, yeah. the property had termites. And last week, we talked about this on the air, and I probably should have had the termite inspection done immediately.
Yeah.
But I did expect there to be termites.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just didn't expect maybe some of the damage that we're going to encounter.
Well, and you know, I think you bring up a great point. You know, even my primary residence that I purchased had termites, and we had it treated and resolved, you know, and that sort of thing. And you know, everything can be fixed is the main thing. And you know, I don't owe hardly any money on this property, so there's a lot of equity there and that kind of thing. I don't have to sell this property, but you know. This has kind of been a great job.
It's a case study.
Case study on, yeah, here's what you do. And we know the real estate market, and we have a pretty good idea of what we think we might can sell it for. We also have a pretty good idea of what that house needs to sort of look like to be attractive to buyers.
That's right.
Of course, you know, I think, first, I got to say thank you to you for kind of, you know, taking lead on this. But you know what you're doing. You know, you got Mary involved in doing it, and I know she's probably wishing she never got involved, but she is.
It's a good experience for Mary.
Well, I think so. Yeah, that's right.
And the contractor that we use in our personal lives to do our personal homes, and I refer this particular contractor to certain clients.
Sure.
It's not for everybody, but when you've got to have the trust and confidence in your entire team to be able to perform reasonably and quickly. Right?
Well,
so you have to know the numbers. You can't guess at the numbers.
No, that's right. That's exactly right. And of course, you know, the number that you came back with for me when we started this process, I felt personally was low, but you know, I haven't done this in quite some time. And it'll probably, you know, as the surprises come up, what there's always, the thing is, there's never good surprises. No. There are always bad surprises. And you know, and I will say this, you know, coming from me, you know, I expect bad surprises. I'm in the business. I know that there's always going to be, you know, when you called me about the chimney, I was like, yep, that does not surprise me. You know, there are some people that get into the real estate game and something like that. I mean, they just freak out, you know, when something
sure.
like that happens. You know, but nothing, if you've been in this long enough, you do understand that things like this
Absolutely.
Are going to happen.
Yeah.
Real estate is an imperfect world.
And you know, investors, they budget for that. They know there are going to be some overages. They know they're going to encounter some surprises,
yep.
some things that they didn't consider, or if they did, they might have budgeted a little bit too low.
Yep.
So typically, when they're doing the estimates, they might add a 10% overage
yep.
to the entire number that is going to be required to renovate the property.
Yeah. Well, it'll be very interesting. And of course, I would like to continue to update our listeners on, you know, kind of where we go with this and that kind of thing. We're at sort of the beginning stages. And of course, they are already, I saw, you know, some of the pictures that you sent over, some of the exterior stuff that's already been done, you know, looking at the roof and doing all those sorts of things. So that team of guys has been out there and they've been getting after it, Keith, for sure. So we'll continue to update and hopefully we get everything kind of knocked out and get this home on the market here in the next few weeks or whatever. And we'll kind of take it from
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and we think it's probably going to take 60 days beginning to end.
Yeah, right.
So I'm guessing 30 to get it in shape.
Yeah.
Again, typically leaving a few days for some wiggle room.
Yeah.
And then the listing should go on the market 40 days after we started.
Yeah, right. Yeah, which is pretty good. So, anyway, well, listen, we're going to head into our final break of the show. We appreciate you listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark here with the Buyer's Broker. We've still got some topics that we want to talk about. We still have the email question about homeowners insurance that we need to address. So we'll tackle those when we come back here from the final break. Again, the email is askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans, final segment of the show. We got about 12 minutes left. We appreciate you listening in today to House Plans. My name is J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark is here with the Buyer's Broker. We'll get that email out to you guys one last time here. It's J.D. Nelson. You can send it to askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. We do appreciate all the email questions that we get, and we try to address each one of those on the air for sure. And Keith, the email question that we got was in regards to homeowners insurance. And the question was, why does my dwelling coverage not cover the amount that my home is currently worth?
Good question.
And, you know, that's one thing that a lot of people do not factor in is, you know, with the increase in values as fast as they're going up, a lot of times the insurance sort of does lag behind a little bit. But most policies have, and what I'm going to get at here is, let's just take that same house that we were just talking about. It may be worth $225, $230, or whatever it's worth today. Well, the dwelling coverage on your policy may only be $160. You got to figure there's some value in the land and that sort of thing. But most insurance policies have an addition to it that basically it's kind of a right to rebuild. And basically it's going to cover the full value of the property. Replacement cost is, I think, the proper term that these insurance companies use. They'll have full replacement coverage. So you don't have to fear. But I will say this, it's probably a good idea to contact your insurance companies and just have them go ahead and look at the policy. We talk at the annual mortgage checkup is kind of what we do at County Bank, insurance being a piece of that. But it's always a good idea to call your insurance agent to make sure, A, you've got the right coverage, B, the right amount of coverage, because things in life do change, and sometimes you do need to make sure that you're up to date in that regard, for sure.
Yeah, and you know, historically, JD, what I've encountered over the years, depending on the price point, we don't insure the land, so you're insuring replacement cost for the structure. And so let's say you paid $300,000 for your home and the value of the lot or the land that it sits on is 15% or 20% of that.
Yep.
Let's say 60 grand.
Yeah.
Well, that you would think the replacement cost might be $240,000,
mm-hmm.
but typically that won't replace it. In most instances, when the insurance company gives you a quote, they'll call you or your agent or someone knowledgeable, and they typically want to know the type of construction,
right?
The exterior finish, the number of bedrooms, bathrooms, the square footage. And by the way, they eventually send somebody out to take a picture of that
home. They do. That's correct.
To make sure that it's what you say it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And so that replacement cost many times comes in above what you would expect it to.
Well, and the other thing I would think of too, Keith, is, you know, and we probably should get Rudy Painter to, you know, address some of these questions. You know, with the cost to construct going up so fast and supply issues and supply chain issues and, you know, the price of lumber, you know, going up. And I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, you're talking about to rebuild the same home if it was to burn down or whatever the situation may be. That cost continues to rise.
It does. And I do have a question about that we should get answered, because I was thinking that the escalation clause to replace was based on a percentage,
mm-hmm.
right? So yeah. they insure your home, let's say, for $300,000, and replacement costs, in addition to that $300,000, another
20% or 20%.
Whatever.
Right.
And I think that clause is different company to company. It depends on who the underwriter is as to how they address that. And you want to make sure that your replacement cost or coverage is adequate to rebuild your house.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, I'll tell you this. So we've stumped ourselves here, I think, on the question. But I will get the answer to that. I'm going to make myself a note, and we'll get the answer to that and talk about it next week. You know, the other thing I found interesting, I was talking to Rudy Painter, who's with County Bank Insurance, this week, and he told me that in the type of environment that we're in right now, you will start to see homeowner premiums start to go down. And the reason, he says, for that is because insurance companies, with the rising interest rates, the money that they have on hand, that excess cash is going to start being invested, and they will make more money on that as opposed to less. And so a lot of times you'll see that sort of not tamping down the premiums that you end up paying, you know, on your home. So it's kind of the opposite a little bit of what we're talking about. You know, I would expect premiums to go up with replacement costs and everything else going up. So it'll be interesting to see.
And of course, they're a heavily regulated industry.
Absolutely.
On a state-by-state basis. I think insurance companies, property and casualty insurance, is regulated by the state. We have a state insurance commissioner, and in fact, a way to make a complaint through them should you have a problem with an adjuster or your insurance coverage.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, you know, one of the things, Keith, I was going to talk a little bit about, we got about 6 minutes left in the show here, is talking about some sellers hit a tipping point. And, it's very interesting. And so, you know, we're starting to see some sellers, this is a national number, but actually drop their prices, drop their asking prices, which is a lot of what we've kind of been talking about. For the 4 weeks that ended on May 1st, 15% of home sellers dropped their asking price, and that was up from 9% a year ago. The numbers that we just talked about, it'll be interesting when the final numbers come out. But it's an interesting kind of phenomena with starting to see sellers maybe drop the price a little bit to sell it.
Yeah, don't misinterpret what we're saying. It is tremendous seller's market, continues to be. But what comes to my mind, JD, is when I'm counseling clients, you can't just make a decision to pull the trigger based on the emotional component of the marketplace. And what comes to my mind, those price reductions typically would be in the areas of lesser demand. So you've had such a strong seller's market for such a long period of time. The first change in the market conditions will typically take place in the peripheral areas that don't have quite as much demand. So we looked at a home this week that went on the market. It had multiple offers, but it was in what I would refer to as typically the midtown market,
right,
just outside the downtown. It was just on the other side of Pleasantburg Drive, but you still have a lot of demand. Now, as the market shifts a little bit, you'll begin to see some of those outerlying areas begin to soften first.
Yeah.
And so you'll see inventory in those areas inch up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still a strong seller's market. But the reason I bring that up is because on the buy side, we want people to know and be informed that these market conditions aren't going to exist indefinitely.
Right.
And you're a buyer today, but tomorrow or 10 years from now, you're going to be a seller.
Mm-hmm.
And market conditions may be dramatically different. So it's critical that you use a good process and make a wise decision on the home that you purchase.
Yeah, especially from a long-term perspective, Keith. Like you said, you know, we've probably had more requests for adjustable rate mortgages here in the last month than we've had in the last 15 years combined. And a lot of that has to do, of course, with interest rates going up so quickly. People looking at those houses saying, okay, this is a house that I want to buy. We've got our heart set on $300,000. And, you know, that payment has gone from, say, $1,500 a month this time last year to maybe $1,900 a month or $2,000 a month. And you're talking about, you know, that's the affordability, you know, and all of that's interest rate driven. And I think a lot of people are looking for those adjustable rate mortgages to sort of justify, you know, they've got their heart set on that house. I want to get my payment, my monthly payment to be this, so we don't, you know, have to deal with larger
payment. That's right.
Payment.
And typically, depending on the price point, people's financial condition improves over time historically.
Yep.
So if you're at the entry level, then getting the home that you want today, your financial condition is going to improve. And
right.
So 3 or 4 years, even if it's tight these first couple of years, 3, 4, 5 years from now, you have a certain number of pay raises. You have that long-term mortgage payment that stays the same.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, interest rates, the ebb and flow, they'll probably come back down again.
Well, I can vividly remember back in the early 2000s telling people, you know, you probably want to buy just a little more house than you think you need right now, because to your point, that payment that you have now is going to stay the same. And, you know, your financial situation is only going to improve, but you're also going to, your family's probably going to grow. And this was a conversation I had with first-time homebuyers.
Yes, particularly young professionals who are coming out of college, getting that first job. They're not going to make a lot of money, but they'll typically get rapid increases over those first 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
As incentives. Retention incentives and productivity incentives.
Yeah, and this was an article that I believe you found from NAR, and it was saying mortgage payment nearly 50% above a year ago in some situations. And that's all, you know, like I say, 30-year fixed. A year ago, rates were below 3. Now they're in the mid-5s. You know, you're talking about almost double the payment there. So a lot of information. And it's going to be an interesting year, Keith. You know, this is the first time that I feel like I have a firm grasp on exactly what interest rates are going to do, or the real estate market for that matter. I mean, we have a pretty good idea, but it'll be interesting to see how things shake out, you know, here in 2022. So 2020 and 2021, record years, 2022, who knows what's going to happen, but
we'll
be here. That's exactly right. So, well, listen, we're going to head to the end of the show here. We got about 50 seconds left. If you do want to reach any of our real estate mortgage professionals, you can always do that during the week by calling 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. We can talk to you about refinancing, or if you need to get pre-qualified to purchase that home. The email is always open at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. You can also use that email for any of our real estate professionals that may have an interest in coming to the Realtor Roundtable May 26th. That'll be at Thornblade, free of charge. We'll feed you lunch. We got some great topics to talk about, and we would love to just meet you face to face for sure. So just keep that in mind and shoot us an email, and we will be glad to see you.
Now, that's on the 26th.
May 26th, six. Thursday.
Yep, Thursday, that's May the 26th.
Yep. So you've been listening to House Plans. We'll be back next week.